The reading from John chapter 6, verses 48 through 69 specifically. Jesus, of course, on this occasion, if you remember, fed the 5,000. His popularity at this time was at an all-time high. But some people wanted to make him their king. In John chapter 6, 14 to 15, then it says, "Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, 'This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world.' Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone." Jesus, of course, left the people because they were being motivated by an improper motivation. They were only thinking about the loaves and the fishes. Look with me, if you will, please, at John chapter 6, verse 26. Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and the fishes and were filled." The proper emphasis needs to be placed on the spiritual and not the physical. Jesus said that to them in John 6:27 when he said, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set a seal on him." Now, this, of course, doesn't mean that we are to avoid physical labor. That's not what this is talking about. In fact, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, Paul was dealing with the brethren over at Thessalonica when he said, "When we were among you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread." But instead, Jesus here is trying to talk about priorities. Priorities. We notice that this implies gaining eternal life requiring effort on our part. It isn't something we just get, something we have to work for. In John chapter 6 and verse 28, beginning and through verse 29, Jesus said, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." What works are required of us? Believing in him whom he sent, which is, of course, Jesus, who is the Christ. Now, not everyone's faith, though, gains them eternal life. Some heard Jesus' teaching and believed in him. In John chapter 8, we know this, begin verse 28 down through 32. Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus had disciples who really believed in him, and Jesus, of course, promised them freedom from sin as a result of that. Yet there were those who were among the believers that wanted Jesus dead. If you look in John chapter 8, look at what we have here. "Jesus the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's descendants," but what did Jesus perceive? "But some of you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you." Not everybody believed, and not everybody was found to be acceptable to God. They believed Jesus was the Messiah, but It didn't alter the course of their life at all. Jesus' words caused belief, but it unfortunately did not take up residency in the people. Others also believed, but they wouldn't admit it. Notice in John 12, 42 through 43. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Why did they do this? For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. These were the people whose concern was more for what other people thought than what God thought. There were others who feared the consequences of their belief. They feared what others would think of them. In John chapter 12, verse 44 down through verse 50, Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I do not come to the world to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." Unfortunately, there are people who didn't like the consequences of believing on Jesus. And Jesus set them straight as to what the consequences were going to be for them. It was more than just a matter of believing that Jesus was a man, just believing that he was there. It was the ability to believe in God, the Father, through him. Notice he said, "You have seen me, you've seen the Father. You've heard me, you heard what the Father has to say." Jesus was teaching God's words. And again, it comes down to accepting Jesus' commands. Look at John 14, 15 again. "If you love me," Jesus says, "keep my commandments." The love of Jesus means keeping his commandments. If you say you love Jesus and you don't keep his commandments, you're not telling the truth. You're not telling the truth. You are lying. It is simply not naming Jesus or calling on the name of Jesus, but obeying him. Friday evening, Brother Tope was talking about who's not going to heaven. And he said, now you folks, I know this isn't what you expected, but I'm going to have to talk about it because the Bible talks about it. What I'm going to talk about first is who's not going to heaven. And he listed off some of those who were not going to heaven. And among them, who did he list? He listed people who were not doing the will of the Father in heaven. Specifically, he turned to Matthew 7 and verse 21. "Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven." So he said there's going to be some religious people. People who have been doing mighty, and then read this context. I won't do it for the sake of time tonight, but read the context. There are going to be religious people who have been doing wonderful things in the name of Jesus, calling on Jesus' name. And what's Jesus going to say to them? "Depart from me, for I never knew you." Why? "You weren't working the will of my Father who's in heaven." we ought to take note. Just because we call on the name of Jesus doesn't mean we're pleasing God. Our calling on the name of Jesus must be in compliance with God's will. And we have a responsibility to study diligently and know what His will is. But we have those who say, well, you know, I believe on Jesus and I call on Jesus' name, but I don't think you have to do anything. I think that you can just believe and be saved. Well, James said that faith without works is dead. Look at it in James 2, 14 through 17. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith and does not have works? Can faith save him? Rhetorical question. Rhetorical question. Can faith save him? No. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give him the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Nothing. That's the answer. Thus, also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. That's it. Look on down to verse 26. Let's see, I put that separately. Oh, I'm sorry. I should have put that on there, but make the note on your notes. Down to verse 26 of chapter 2. For thus the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. These were people who believed but were not going to be saved. They weren't going to find a place in heaven. Why? Because they didn't do the works of the Father who's in heaven. By believing and obeying, by truly receiving God's words, we do not believe in vain. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul starts off the first verse to the brethren there. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, in which you also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if. You see that big word, if? If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. We hold fast the word of truth. We cling to it. We do what it says. Why? Because we didn't believe in vain. That's why. We didn't believe in vain. But you notice in this context that Daniel. I have trouble with that. Daniel Lyons. I always have trouble calling that name. Daniel read for us. Did a good job, too. Just a few moments ago, over there in John 6, 47 through 51. Notice, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Why? Listen, I am the bread of life. Now, these people stumbled over this. They couldn't quite understand it. But what Jesus is trying to point out to them was just as your fathers received manna in the wilderness that sustained them, Jesus said, I have come down that you might have the bread of life. That I will sustain you. You will have life in me. I am not like manna that fell from heaven. I'm the living bread. And here's the implication of it right here. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Here, Jesus is talking about the sacrifice that he was about to offer unto the Father. And what he's telling them is, I'm going to give you something that is far better than manna. Something far better than manna. Something that will endure into eternity. But they couldn't understand that. That concept was difficult for them. Jesus came to give himself for the life of the world. He came actually to... Well, let's see. I guess I'm skipping over. Let's hit this next one here. Yeah, there we go. I still got another one here. Let's give this one a rest and let's go back. I want to hit this next verse because it's really important. Jesus' purpose in coming to this earth was to feed us spiritually. This is really important. Really important. Feed us spiritually. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, there's a passage of scripture there, and you probably have seen it many times. But think of it in this context. First of all, he says, it is written. Now he's speaking to Satan in the wilderness now. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus came here to this earth to feed us spiritually. And he tells us right here what it is. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. No wonder we say that his teachings were amazing. His teachings were amazing. Look at Matthew 7:28. And it was so when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. These people were used to hearing teaching from the scribes. Each Sabbath day they heard something, some teaching from the scribes, and they were familiar with it. But they weren't used to hearing anyone teach the way Jesus taught. Jesus taught with authority. He taught with authority. And they were amazed. I was thinking about Jesus came for us to be fed as he was fed. Look with me if we will. John 4. And verse 32, this is when the Samaritan woman came to the well and the disciples went off and came back and they marveled that what is he eating? I mean, he's been here all this time. And he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. That did not mean he had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich stuffed in his back pocket. No, I didn't mean that. What food was he eating? He was eating the spiritual food that came from his Father. And he is telling us that we too should feast on that same food. But what again is this spiritual food? It is obeying God. Look at John 4 and verse 34. Just a couple of verses down from there. Jesus said to them, my food is what? To do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. That's our food. Doing the will of the Father in heaven. That is the food that sustains us. That is the food that sustains us. Jesus, of course, invites us to share with him in the great harvest. The great harvest is talked about in John chapter 4, down beginning with verse 35. John 4 and verse 35. Jesus said, "Do not say there's still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes. Look at the fields." Why? Because they're already white for harvest. He who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. He wants us to enjoy that spiritual feast. The spiritual feast. You can see that eating this bread of life is equivalent to eating or partaking of the Word of God. We cannot merely listen to it. As James says in James 1:22, "Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only." You're just deceiving yourself. Just deceiving yourself. You have to be a doer of the Word and not just a hearer. And not by merely doing what Jesus said. Jesus' words will bring life if we obey Him. Look at John 8 and verse 51. "Most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." What does that mean? He'll have eternal life. That's what it means. That's what it means. The answer to eternal life. Gotta get that nap. The answer to eternal life is found in this passage, John 6 and verse 63. Listen to it. "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and are life." That clarifies it right there. That's where the life is found. But words that are unused are useless words. Useless. And Jesus didn't solely offer words. He showed proof of the validity of what he was saying through his miracles that he performed. The works bore witness to him. In John 5, verse 36, "I have a greater witness than John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." You want to know why Jesus did all the miracles he did? You want to know why? I'll tell you right there. I'll tell you right here. "The works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." Now, a lot of people today have the misconception that Jesus came and his purpose in doing miracles was to make everybody well. Well, that's somebody who, first of all, hasn't read the scriptures, and second of all, doesn't understand the purpose of miracles. Jesus didn't make everybody well. Jesus didn't raise everybody from the dead. Have you noticed that? And, you know, it's not odd that his apostles didn't make everyone well, and his apostles didn't raise everybody from the dead. But they did raise some, and they did heal some. But why did they do it? For the same purpose he did it. He said, "The works I do bear witness of me. They prove that I am doing it by the power of the Father." The apostles did the same thing. In Mark chapter 16 And verse, I think it's 17 or 18, I can't remember. Mark 16, 15, 16, about 17, yeah. They went everywhere preaching the word. And the works that they did, the miracles that they did, gave testimony to the gospel. That's what it was for. It wasn't to make everybody well. It wasn't to raise everybody from the dead. That wasn't the purpose at all. For some, the proof of a miracle didn't make the proper impression. They focused solely on the results of it. In John 6, verse 26, Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly, I say, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and the fishes." What were the people concentrating on? Food. Oh, that's free food. Free food. Free food. Oh, boy. Where'd that food come from? I don't know, but boy, we got free food. They didn't realize they had witnessed a great miracle. And Jesus was the one who was showing them his power and, of course, the authority that went with it. But for others, the proof was simply ignored because they didn't like what was going to be the results of believing in these miracles. John 5, verse 37, "The Father himself who sent me has testified, you have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you did not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they that testify of me. But you are," this is really important, "you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." You may have seen a little something floating around on Facebook. There's a lot of truth in it. It says, God doesn't condemn people to hell. Nope. He just honors their decision. Think about it. They've made a decision. They chose it. He just honors it. And that's what Jesus says here. He says, "You have made a decision. You have chosen not to believe. And you gave up your chance." Gave up your chance. It should have impressed them regardless of the consequences. In John 10, 37, 38, If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you don't believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." In other words, if you got a personality problem here with me, ignore that. Let's look at the works. What about the works? Are these works from God? And if they are, believe it. Believe it. But, you know, of course, we look at the consequences. John 10, verse 39. It says, "They sought again to seize him." What can you do? They just keep on rejecting him. Keep on rejecting him. They couldn't bring themselves to believing on him on account of the works. Jesus said in John 14, 10 and 11, Do not you believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. For some people, the miracles just didn't get the message across, I'm afraid. In John 3 and verse 2, this man came to Jesus by night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God." Why? Why did they know that Jesus was a teacher come from God? That's a good question. That's a good question. What was it about him? He said, no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Yeah. It's sad that so many continued to reject him when the evidence was so strong in his favor. But the fact remains, there was still no one else to go to. No one to go to. There is, in fact, no other way but Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me." Jesus is the only way. In fact, there is salvation in no other name. As you look to Acts 4, beginning at verse 10, "Let it be known to you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. This is the stone rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Now is there salvation, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved." How many other names are there? None. There's none. Where shall we go? To whom can we turn? You have the words of eternal life. Only Jesus. These words, of course, won't do us much good unless we act upon them. Unless we act upon them. They offer eternal life, but unless we give careful attention to them and obey them and acknowledge their veracity, we still are lost. Still lost. We need to think seriously about this. There is no other place to go except to the Lord. We have some with us this evening who have not yet obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We want to give you an opportunity to give yourself in obedience to His commands, confessing your faith in Jesus from a penitent heart, being buried with your Lord in the waters of baptism, to rise up and walk in the newness of life. You can do it. You can do it now. And if you have done this in the past, but your life hasn't been what God expects of you, you know that it's not what God expects, we would beg you to please repent. Please ask God to forgive you and allow us to pray with you and to pray for you in full assurance that He will hear and that He will forgive. Think seriously about these thoughts.